The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
I'm feeling rather blessed this morning. Are you? No, it's nothing about what's happening in Washington, D.C. None of that. It's not about where the spending will go or what Doge will do or not do, more likely. It's just that that feeling of having dodged a bullet. You feel that way? And of course, maybe this is just a reminder of things to prepare for to come. Of course, I'm talking about the 7.0 earthquake off of Ferndale, Northern California, not too far from Eureka in that area. And about 10:45 yesterday, everyone's phones start going nuts. I didn't feel a thing. I was in a store and I was buying some gutter stuff, some drainage things for the radio station. And then the phone starts going off. You're hearing the phones going off all throughout the store saying, drop, severe earthquake detected. And one of the challenges is that it didn't really give a lot of information, right? An earthquake where? What? And I don't feel a thing. And I think maybe it's because I was walking and, you're walking and, you're walking and unless things are really rocking and rolling, I guess you don't notice it all that much. Did you feel it? What did it feel like? Was it a roll or was it a shake back and forth? I did not follow the instruction of the phone to drop, roll, and get under something because I didn't really feel like getting underneath all those metal racks that had all the piping and lumber and everything else on it. I just got out of the store is what I did. What did you feel? So one of the things that did irritate me though is that there was so little information. Severe earthquake detected. You would think that maybe they could include a little bit of the information of the of some general location because they had to, they certainly would have the sensory input to do that. Maybe that's something to think about for next time. But it took us a little while. It took me a little while to figure out where it actually had struck. And then about 10 minutes later, the EAS goes off on the radio station because I'm coming back to the radio station thinking, well, okay, is this the signs of something bigger? Now, the person who was working at the front of the home improvement store said that, well, yeah, I felt it. And, well, I was just, getting out of the store and wanted to get back here. And then we did a couple of reports and things like that. And then the whole big worry was the tsunami. That's the big thing. Now, it wouldn't have been here. It was interesting, though, that the National Weather Service did issue a tsunami warning, which ended up going out on our EAS systems on KBXG. And KMED and all of our, all the radio and television stations ended up getting those, that there was a tsunami warning for Jackson County. And that kind of made me chuckle a little bit because a tsunami that would reach Jackson County, boy, that would have to be a hell of a tsunami to come over the mountain ranges and all the rest. That would be like cancel Christmas kind of thing, wouldn't it? But I also realized that probably what they're getting at, and why I think the National Weather Service may have done this, may have done it and put it out with that kind of code. There's certain codes that register, is that so much of what happens right now in the emergency alerting system, the Everbridge thing that the counties are using, everything about going to the cell phone, they don't want to tell you anything unless they think that you are directly impacted by it. This is all in the wake of what happened over at, the Olmeda fire. Remember, we were grousing about it. We in the broadcast world were grousing. Why didn't you send anything, Jackson County, into the EAS system? Up in the Lane County area, they were talking about evacuations all the time when things were going on. And, well, they ended up firing the emergency manager and things have been replaced. But, they're trying to do everything now into the shiny Everbridge system. Which is nothing wrong with the Everbridge system, but now it's like you have to sign up for all these different zones and what zone are you in and this and that and the other. rather than a big blast going out and everybody knows everything about everywhere, you know, even right then, even if it ends up being a little bit confusing. So I disagree with the emergency management system of geo-targeting in which you know, if they don't think that you need to know something, you're not going to know something, essentially, is how they're running emergency management. And that is good in some ways. You're not being bugged by a lot of things that don't necessarily impact you. But sometimes when you have a widespread thing like the earthquake hits, you just let everybody know that an earthquake hit. Okay. And so that part I was all right with the U.S. Geological Survey and the shake alert sort of thing. Okay. I think that part was good. A little more information would be good. But still, it got us questioning and asking things and thinking about it. But I didn't feel it. And so I missed it. I guess I'm part of the I Missed It Earthquake news team. What about you? 770-5633. Let me go to the lines here. Hi, good morning. You're on the Bill Myers Show on KMED. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, good morning. It's Deplorable Patrick, and I've got a report for you.
Sure. What happened with you?
From when my phone went off, I was at work, and we're hauling rock from one plant to another. I make like 3 loads an hour, mm-hmm. and we come around, and we're loaded by this big front-end loader that will drop 10 tons of rock in your truck at a time.
Yeah.
Throw you out of your seat if you're not looking out, and you can't be writing down any time of day or whatever in the forms while he's loading you, because you can't do anything except make a big mark across the page. So I'm kind of used to getting thrown out of the seat, and this thing's telling me there's an earthquake. How am I supposed to know if it's real or generated by the loader?
Isn't that funny, though? My first reaction was because since I didn't feel it, I thought it was a false alert. I thought it was a false alarm. That was my first initial reaction. I don't know if that wasn't the smart way to look at it, I guess. But I was distrustful because I felt nothing myself. And other people were wondering, well, does this mean they think something is going to come? There were all sorts of questions that people around me were raising when it ended up happening. Didn't you find that interesting?
Yeah, and well, my reaction was the same as yours when I finally picked up my phone and looked at the written message, and I thought, well, okay, it says there's an earthquake, but doesn't say what part of the world.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting at, and still 165 miles away or so, which is, you know, what that was for us. That's not that far in the grand scheme of things, and I know that earthquake waves sometimes take several minutes to roll across the landscape. You know, it's not like a light flash or something that goes at the speed of sound. The speed of an earthquake is not necessarily all that fast. And then you start thinking that, okay, well, did it hit here? Is it going to roll, you know, into our area? So I got out of the building is what I did. I figured that was the best thing to do, not to duck inside the building and roll around or hide. But that's just me.
Yeah. Right. Well, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about these things because, I mean, whose phone is it anyway? Is it their phone or mine? I'm not sure I want all these warnings.
Yeah, well, I guess the way to not have the warning is to not have the phone, right? Just not have one at all. But I don't know. That is pretty tough to work these days. Well, I'm glad you made it through there. That's kind of funny, though, that, you know, given the way you're being bashed around in that truck, you wouldn't know if there was an earthquake unless the loader turned over, right?
We have earthquakes all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Hey, thanks, DP. Good to hear from you. 770-5633. Did you feel yesterday's Templar, the 7.0? I did not. I did not feel a thing. What I'm kind of curious about was, it's sort of the rolling type of earthquake, or was it the shake, rattle, the shake back and forth kind of thing? Horizontal, vertical. I know that they're talking about it being a slip type earthquake, in which was more horizontal shaking, but that doesn't mean we feel it that way in our particular area. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. You're on the Bill Myers Show. Who's this?
This is Miner Dave.
Hey, Dave, how was that up for you? You were a little closer to it up there in the Iron Gate. What's up?
I didn't feel it at all, but I'm down in the flat.
Hmm.
My neighbor that's up on the hill, he said his bus tilted about a foot.
His what now?
Settled back down.
He's what?
His bus he lives in.
Oh, his bus tilted a foot. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It just moved. But he's up on a hill, so it probably affected people on top of a hill more than it affected somebody on flat ground.
That could, well, maybe that's what was up with me, because like I said, I'm in a home improvement store, big concrete floors, probably really strongly based into the earth, and I did not feel a thing. But the checkout,
I didn't either.
Yeah, the checkout person said that she felt it and wondered what was going on. So, all right. Well, I'm glad you're okay. And
about Cash Patel.
What's that now?
I said Cash Patel.
What about Cash Patel?
Well, there's a guy that was on YouTube yesterday just ranting and raving about Cash Patel and what he's going to do to the FBI.
Okay, so?
He's an FBI guy.
Yeah, I know.
He's probably going to lose his job.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. If they're complaining about what Cash Patel is going to do to the FBI, obviously Cash Patel is over the target, my friend. Thanks for the call, Dave. Let me go to line three. Good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Hello, this is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing this morning? You feel it?
No, I'm in Grants Pass, but I had a friend when I found out where it was that lives in Eureka, and he was at a stoplight, and he said the ground was rocking really, really well. He felt it a lot, even in his vehicle at a stoplight.
Wow, okay.
I mean, that was the, like you were saying, though, they should have a location of the earthquake or fires or whatever's going on, just so you know, if it's an immediate threat to you or whatever.
Even just a general note on the phone alert would have been helpful. You know, earthquake detected, Northern California near Eureka. You know, because they would have had at least that much information, I would have thought.
Something.
Yeah. But, all right, so you didn't feel it. Your friend feel it. Was it a rock and roll or was it a shake back and forth? Do you know? How did it feel? Did anybody describe that? Did your friend describe that to you?
His exact words were rock and roll at the light. He goes, it was pretty bad. And I asked him if he needed anything. And you know, like, it would probably take a while to get anything to him with the one road going down there. But he said, no, everything was fine in Eureka. And, you know, just, you know, they're waiting for the tsunami at that point. But never showed up.
Yeah, I feel like we really dodged a bullet there, because it's always the tsunami. I mean, the earthquakes are bad, but the tsunamis are the real killers out there, you know, on the coast. When you look at the history of a lot of these of these earthquakes, think of what happened with Crescent City back in 1964 and various other things. So, and I'm just glad, and that kind of lets you know, though, that it was a horizontal earthquake, you know, when you have the land slipping horizontally, because it's the up and down earthquakes when a bunch of land drops a lot. That's what tends to make the big tsunamis. And thank goodness we didn't have that happen yesterday. That was good. All right. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Good to hear from you. 770-5633. Did you feel it? Not? We are talking about some damage this morning, but it's like the sort of thing of people having to clean up stuff, you know, falling off the shelves in stores, stuff like that. But we're not hearing any reports of any particularly major damage this morning out there in Northern California and elsewhere. This is the Bill Myers Show.
'Tis the season for huge savings on your holiday gifts at your local Coastal.
Coastal Farm and Ranch.
Shop from December 3rd through the 10th for everything you need to have an unforgettable holiday. Choose from 10 patterns of Victory pajama pants for the whole family at just $6.99 a pair. We're your one-stop holiday toy shop. Get something unique for the kids with specially sourced farm and ranch toys that you won't find at a regular retailer. Save a special 30% off Alley Ranch and Country Life branded sets for your little ranchers. Plus 30% off all toys from Paradise Kids. We have toys for your pets, too. Browse our full pet department for deals like 25% off all holiday dog and cat toys and 25% off all regular cat toys.
Coastal Farm and Ranch, just what your holidays need.
Whether for the home or the farm, we're decking the stalls with deals at Coastal.
Hi there, I'm Rick Schultz, the new GM at Rogue Valley Country Club. Being GM during our centennial celebration is an honor and a privilege, so I'd like to personally invite you to join our club. As a member, you're not just a customer, you're family. We have 27 pristine holes of golf, fantastic practice facilities, trained teaching instructors and programs for the entire family. There is no better golfing experience in the Valley. Along with golf, we have a complete fitness center, pool, indoor tennis and pickleball courts, as well as a sport court. Our sports center also has a miniature golf course, batting cage, and bocce ball courts. With multiple food and beverage options, there's a place and a menu for everybody. I encourage you to experience all that our club has to offer and to make some new memories with your family that will carry on for the next 100 years. Come see why we say, when you're here, your family. Find out more at rvcc.com or call us at 541-772-5965.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED.
26 minutes after 6, I'm feeling rather blessed this Friday morning.
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down.
Yeah, except that I didn't feel the earth move under my feet at all. But a lot of other people apparently did with the 7.0. I am just thanking goodness that there wasn't huge damage. No death, nothing like that. No tsunami either. You know, that was the big one. And it kind of got me thinking, though, about working on my preps again, because I had emptied out my water barrels recently because I'm moving my water barrels to a different area because they were so heavy they collapsed the shed floor that I had my water barrels in for my emergency water supply. So I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to get that back. I'm going to get that done this weekend for sure. Get off my butt and get a few things done. And then I have to repair the shed floor in the other, in the back shed. Lucretia's here. Hey, Lucretia, how are you doing? You say there's a coincidence here going on. Earthquakey stuff, huh? Is that what you were going on?
Well, this is kind of big. Since you mentioned the word blessed.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people follow the Bible and believe that that's going to be telling us what's going to be happening. And so let me get to King James Version of the Bible, Revelation 6:12.
Okay.
I don't know if you know it offhand, but let me first tell you, yesterday was December 5th. 2024. That adds up to 7.
So you're going into like a numerology kind of look at this?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what Jumachi is, yes. And it's a 7.0. The day was that day. That adds up to 7. Numerology adds up to 125. The earthquake is, the earthquake happened at 1044.
Yes.
Earthquake adds up to 44. Then you get down to, today leaves 26 days in the year. Quake adds up to 26.
Uh-huh.
Today is the 88th day of the state's age. So weapon is 88. California is 88. Then you get down to tomorrow be December 6th, 6:12, Revelation 6:12. What's it say? And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Well, December 6th will leave 25 days in the year. Eureka is 25, Earth is 25, Tsunami is 25. And December 6th will be 88 days in the state's birthday.
That is, isn't that fascinating when you look around at the numbers aspect of it all? That is absolutely fascinating.
It is.
You know, now, either that's just a really interesting coinkydink or God has a really interesting sense of humor for us to decipher.
Well,
right?
Say the sun goes out, all the electricity goes off, you know, something like that. There's going to be something else that lines are going to break.
Yeah. Well, they are still having aftershocks, though. And I guess the thing although I feel like we dodged a bullet this morning, that doesn't mean that we couldn't have another big thwap at some point. So it's a good time to.
Interesting. The 1044, and the 44 of them. Huh.
All right. Lucretia, thank you very much. That's a different kind of conspiracy this morning coming from you. Okay. All right.
All right.
It is 6:30 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Yeah, the last earthquake that I remember actually being in here in Southern Oregon and feeling was the 1993 earthquake. It was September 20th, 1993 earthquake. And I was living in an apartment complex, Poplar Drive apartment complexes over there. And I was married to Lisa at that time with our daughter, Sarah, who was only 5 months old at that point. And I remember feeling the lurch of the apartment. And I said, okay, that's no regular lurch. That's an earthquake coming. I felt a little precursor to it. And then maybe a minute or two later or whatever it was, the building just started shaking like crazy, just absolutely going nuts. I had Sarah underneath me, was covering her and protecting her little baby. you know, at that point. And I'm sure it was only for a few seconds, but it felt like 10 minutes. You know, it was just astounding. And no damage with the building, but it was really disconcerting. And a couple people actually died in that quake, though, in the Klamath Falls area. And I was looking this up, and because I always wondered, I was working at KBOY radio in those days. I was doing the morning show and program director at that, you know, on the rock station. And it was disconcerting, and it was sad. And there was actually a woman from Phoenix. No, I'm sorry, a man from Phoenix who ended up dying over on Highway 97. And I had forgotten about that story. I looked it up. Ken and Phyllis Campbell were on Highway 97, and a 14-foot boulder came down and then crushed Ken Campbell to death. Phyllis barely got a scratch, and she survived it. Now, she's from Phoenix. I don't know if she still lives in Phoenix. She's be close to 90 years old, I think, you know, at this point, because this happened, like I said, 30-something years ago. But, that was so sad. It was just like, boom. Happened like right next to her. And there was another woman in the Klamath Falls area who ended up getting a heart attack. But that was the last big earthquake that we've had here in Southern Oregon. And that's the one that always just sticks in my mind. It's 6:32. Good morning, KMED. Hi, who's this?
Good morning, Bill. Tom here.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm joining you a little late. I didn't catch your earlier talk, so I don't know what the topic du jour is today, but I wanted to point out to people that LouRockwell.com has several articles about COVID, and that remains a big topic for me because, you know, I've been so directly affected by friends that got sick, some of them died, and so forth.
And you know something, Tom? I would like to talk with you about that. You know, best time to do that, I think, would be about an hour from now, because after the outdoor report, because we're going to have a lot of open phone time between then and when Congressman Benz comes on. And I would love to explore that. And I just I don't want to blow you off right now, but you have thoughtfulness about this. And there's a lot of stuff that is just breaking loose in that news realm right now. And it's not getting a lot of reporting, though, as you can figure, because it still doesn't fit the narrative, even right now. Agreed?
Oh, yeah. It embarrasses a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people who, frankly, I think should be in jail, too.
Correct.
You know, now, when you hear the Biden administration talking about preemptive pardons for the, you know, for the bloodthirsty ones from COVID time, it does get you wondering. Bad. If you can give me a call about an hour, we'll have some open phone. We'll get right into it, okay? Happy to do it.
Okay, Bill.
All right.
Good. Carry on.
All right. Thank you. It's 6:34 at KMED. We'll catch up on the rest of what is going on here. Bill London, the KMED News Center, and we're also going to talk with Rick Manning, Swamper Update. Yeah, D.C. Swamp Update. Frigid over in D.C. right now, much colder than it is even here. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Snow. It's beautiful to look at, but not so good for your car.
Oh, no. She needs to...
Stop!
Are you all right?
I think so. But the car, how bad is it?
It's gonna need some body work.
Sorry.
Hey, don't worry. We got someone for that.
Winter can be rough on vehicles and drivers. Lithia Body and Paint is your go-to when you want your car looking like new again. Service, speed, accuracy, that's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on.
Authorities in Josephine County are trying to find a missing 16-year-old girl, Carrie Knox. She was last seen November 30th in the Redwood Avenue area of Grants Pass. She was wearing red sweatpants, a black hoodie, and black shoes. She's described as a white female, 5'10", about 145 pounds, with blonde hair and blue eyes. Nearly 5,000 healthcare workers at 13 Providence hospitals and clinics in Oregon, including Medford, have approved a strike if they aren't able to reach an agreement on a contract. Negotiations have been underway for more than a year. If a strike is called, it would be the largest healthcare strike in Oregon history. A tsunami warning closed beaches all along the Oregon coast Thursday morning after a 7.0 earthquake in Northern California. The warning was rescinded at noon, but the Oregon Parks Department kept all state beaches closed till 3 p.m. Other than panic, no damage was reported in Oregon coastal communities. Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. November saw America's employers hire 227,000 people, a better-than-expected jobs report from the Labor Department. The unemployment rate ticked up a notch. It's now at 4.2%. Biden's senior advisors reportedly debating whether preemptive pardons should be granted to current and former government officials who could be in legal jeopardy when the Trump administration takes charge. President-elect Trump's incoming Middle East envoy is already getting down to business, has already paid a visit to the region, saying that government is too big, it does too many things, and it does almost nothing well. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he's excited about what the Trump team has in store for government efficiency. New York police have released photos of a person of interest wanted in the fatal shooting of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson earlier this week. More details, SRNNews.com.
The 33rd Annual Safeway Providence Festival of Trees is back, thanks to the generous support of our sponsors. Immerse yourself in the magic of the season as you walk through a holiday wonderland. Tour breathtaking trees that awe and inspire. Enjoy holiday performances from local groups. Take a free photo with Santa and stop by Teddy Bear Hospital. Safeway Providence Festival of Trees, benefiting the Providence Community Health Foundation, Saturday, December 7th and Sunday, December 8th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. both days at the Medford Armory.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is celebrating its 20-year anniversary as the Rogue Valley's car, truck, Jeep, and SUV accessory upfit headquarters. Specializing in spray-on bedliners, vehicle undercoating, tonneau covers, and the largest selection of fiberglass, commercial, and metal canopies in the area. Running boards, Nerf bars, bumpers, winches, and LED lighting are also on the menu, along with hitches, decked drawer systems, and bed slides, too. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and get your vehicle ready for your next adventure.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see. I'm not told.
Today, the swamp water may not be actually rising in the D.C. swamp update because the swamp, I think, is frozen solid, hasn't it, Rick? Rick Manning is president of Americans for Limited Government. I hear it's really chilly out there in the Beltway today.
It's gotten we've gotten some cold weather last few days. And yes, it's well below freezing. And for much of the nation, that isn't much. But in D.C., if you're sustained in the 20s or low 30s for any length of time, that's pretty cold for D.C.
Now, are you mostly doing, in D.C., natural gas heat? I would think you'd have to be, right?
I have a nuclear power plant about 30 minutes from my house.
Oh.
And so I hope I'm doing nuclear, but I don't know. I don't source. I don't know where it comes from, but I know I have a nuclear power plant that I don't escape from if it blows up, according to the little map they gave me. So I better be getting the power out of it.
All right. So electrical heat, yeah. Here in Oregon.
But we also, by the way, we also have a lot of natural gas because, well, Maryland doesn't pump it. Also, right next to the nuclear power plant, there's a liquefied natural gas terminal that ships natural gas overseas to Europe. So so we do have a lot of natural gas here. We have a lot of we have nuclear, and I assume there's some coal. Maryland, under Larry Hogan, the failed candidate for Senate and wannabe candidate for president, decided to ban fracking in Western Maryland, where it's abundant, where shale oil is abundant, and he banned fracking from there, essentially writing off his opportunity to win the Senate race because nobody in Western Maryland voted for him.
I imagine not. See, here in Oregon, we are so morally superior to you people in Washington, D.C., because we have decided that we close coal plants, we deny nuclear power, and then we're going to replace stuff that actually works. Oh, and we hate dams, too. Not me, but I'm talking about, you know, the system. They hate dams, even though it's supplying about 30-40% of our energy down here. And then we're going to replace everything that works with chaotic and intermittent sources. And we continue to do that. And the power rates go up. And it's just like, oh, no, but we have to keep building more of this chaotic and intermittent because it's so inexpensive. It's so inexpensive that our rates are soaring. You know, that kind of thing. We're doing the California thing.
Everything they put out there about how this is really, that's how they're going to replace the grid and the stuff that works, is nothing more than perfume on what they're really doing. And that is they're deliberately destroying the capacity to access electricity. Because if you can't access electricity, you cannot, you can't exist as a modern society.
And it is a deindustrializing mode. And
it is a deindustrializing mode. But interestingly, the very people who've, in many respects, are responsible for that, the tech industry, which views itself as being all clean and everything, Microsoft's using their AI to try to bring many nuclear power plants into run their server farms. Like, for instance, think of a nuclear sub kind of power plant. And they're trying to get approvals for that. So we're looking at the tech guys with the server farms, which take a massive amount of electricity. They're not going to rely on solar, and they're not going to rely on wind. They're going to rely on something that they know is going to exist.
Yeah, they're not going to build big batteries around their their data center, you know, in order to make this work.
Now, ironically, there's a data center in Maryland that I know of that actually built a series of battery stations that are designed to provide power should the grid deny the data center power. So they've gone with a battery, building multiple buildings with batteries in them, pretty big batteries, as an interim solution. But trust me when I say this, the people who are controlling AI, and AI is only going to take more and more electricity. They're not going to rely upon the wind and solar, particularly not in the Northwest.
So isn't it odd that the tech bros then might be actually driving the nuclear boat or the nuclear bus, so to speak, and that might even force Oregon's hand at some point? What do you think?
It will, but remember, they're driving it for themselves, okay?
Oh.
They're not driving it for as part of a public utility.
Oh, so Bill Gates gets a nuclear plant for his AI stuff, but you and I have to still live on chaotic and intermittent. Got it. All right.
That is the game. Okay.
I
mention that because, truth be told, if you're sitting there, if it's good enough for Microsoft, aircraft carrier supports the town of about 6,000-7,000 nuclear on an aircraft carrier, with all the things the town needs, plus all the electricity you need to run a big ship and to run the airplanes to fly off of it. You have at least to start them, and so you have a. So if that works, well, why couldn't a gated community have a mini little off in a corner somewhere that's running the power for the gated community? What's going to happen is we're going to end up with people who are opting out of the grid, but the minute you start getting approvals of mini nukes, your homeowner association people are going to say, well, we can save all sorts of money. We put solar panels on our roofs, but we have a mini nuke that's over here by the tennis court that doesn't get used anymore. And we put that in, and then everybody has, then you have resilient power
supply. Yeah, you got power all the time. Yeah. Hey, no, I could see that actually happening. I really could. Now,
Yeah,
I don't want to spend all the time talking about this because we could get that all sucked up. There are a couple of things I do want to ask you about. First off, jobs report came out. October sucked. Was November better, or what can you
November
tell us here so
better.
Far?
Yeah, November was like two. They said about 220,000 jobs based on 220,000 jobs. Average for the 12 months was about 185,000 according to BLS. The unlike many months, there actually were about one-seventh of the jobs were government jobs, whereas in many months it was a significantly higher percentage where the government were government jobs. But so there were some private sector jobs. The jobs that lost retail sales, which is really kind of interesting for November going into Black Friday, you should have seen a lot more retail sales jobs.
Have you actually tried to get somebody to help you in a retail store, though?
Well, that's the challenge. Mm-hmm.
Although I will say the big places like Home Depot, they on Black Friday they had lots of people out. They had lots of people out there ready to help you.
Yeah, that's true. I have to tell you the Black Friday, people didn't go out on Black Friday. Maybe it's because they ran sales for all of November. But I personally witnessed not a lot of stores were open early or real early. Mm-hmm. And the stores that were didn't have a lot of people in them. And so it was a little bit eerie, almost like shopping. And, you're shopping when it's dark out. But there's nobody else. There's only a few people there, and I was getting into I must have been sleepy because I was sort of doing a zombie apocalyptic thing in my brain when I was walking through there. But it was an odd experience. So will be interesting to see what the overall consumer sales are for Christmas.
I will be too, and I'm going to tell you, my gut tells me that there is that there's still a bit of. Rolling over in the economy that the Trump administration is going to be having to deal with, I think, as they're coming in. There's going to be just a lot to do. It's going to be a lot of hurry up because there's been a lot of damage, I think, done to the economy by the Biden folks over a number of years. And
I agree with that. But I think the one thing that drives Christmas retail sales is optimism or pessimism about the future.
Sure.
And I think there's going to be, I think they'll be slightly higher because of increased optimism about the future.
I think what you have to look on the other side of that, though, is that the number of quits, the number of people who are voluntarily quitting is plummeting right now because it's getting more difficult for them to find another one. That kind of tells you those are actual actions, going on. That tells you if people hey, if I can quit, I can find another gig right away. Not happening for a lot of people. Okay.
Yeah, the JOLTS report shows you're about 1-to-1 in terms of number of people who are employed and number of jobs available, which in the last, not counting 2020, in the last 8 years has really been unusual. Now, in times of when I was with the Bush administration, the JOLTS report was really pretty ugly because there are always fewer jobs available than there were people to take them.
Right.
So that was an ugly indicator. But right now, let me just short economic forecast. I think that a lot of money has been held on the sidelines from investment standpoints because Kamala Harris was pushing the idea of having a tax based upon how much you had and not how much you earned.
Yeah,
and that wealth.
Yeah, unearned gains. Rate, in other words, they would just tax you, right? Yeah, the value of the stock goes up, and it doesn't matter if you'd have to sell it to get that money, but we'll tax you on that amount going up. Right?
Which is part of the reason why the stock market has been going up pretty persistently since Trump came in. Is a lot of money was being held on the sidelines because people were afraid that Kamala would come in and then effectively go back in time and tax them on wealth that they hadn't really prospered off of. So it's a so basically tax them the unearned money you haven't cashed in yet. And that was a big determiner. It's also a big determiner in terms of investing, capital investments. And with the obvious trend that Trump is going to push domestic capital investments, money that's been sitting on the sidelines is being moved towards domestic capital investments. And as that money moves, you'll see construction jobs begin to go up and the like, particularly if they clear away a lot of the environmental strangleholds that stop rapid growth in this country.
I wanted to ask you, Rick, what are you hearing about as far as getting reconciliation there? And I know this is kind of geeky talk, but you know, when the Trump administration first comes in, you know, getting an actual.
I know they've been working on it for a while. I've been in meetings where we've discussed it.
Because you're going to have about 100 days, right? You got about 100 days or so, 120 days.
Well, and the challenge is Trump picked four House members to be in his cabinet.
Yeah, I was just thinking about
they're
that.
He's going to have to try to figure out how to stagger those people coming in because Mike Johnson is going to have about if all four go in immediately. Mike Johnson is going to have 216 House members on his side, and there'll be 215 Democrats.
Oh my gosh! We have a five vote majority in the Republicans, and as we well know, there's plenty of rhinos within that five vote majority.
Because remember, the Gates seat's empty, so yeah. You have one Republican seat that's empty, but it doesn't get filled until April 1. You get down to it. He'll also likely. He had another House member from Florida who he picked for something, and that seat, since you're going to run a special election to fill the Gates seat, you really want to have them both start out right away. And you just had it, and Michael Burgess from Texas just announced he was quitting or something. He's Republican. I don't know what his timetable is, but if he quits, and I don't know why you run for reelection then say, oh, I'm quitting in December, before you serve your 2 years, okay? Mm-hmm. But if he quits, that's, you know, that puts you at 215, 215. There's the first 100 days, but you better be able to get every single Republican voting for whatever the budget reconciliation is. And so my suspicion is they're going to do taxes. A lot of conservatives don't want them to do taxes up front because they won't get the liberal Republicans on anything else. But it's going to be really hard for Mike Johnson to put together as aggressive a Budget Reconciliation Act bill and get it through the House because he'll have to get all of them to vote for it.
How is who's the whip?
It'll be a test.
Who's the whip there? You know,
Emmert's the whip from Minnesota. He appeals the more moderate wing of the Republican Party. Mm. Scalise is your majority leader, and Johnson's your speaker. Scalise and Johnson. Scalise is more appeals to establishment Republicans. Johnson appeals to more evangelical Republicans.
Interesting. All right. Here's what concerns me, though, is and I don't even know if you have a take on this or not. I notice there's all this talk of there's a lot of noise and drama about, you know, the Department of Governmental Efficiency, you know, the Doge guys with Elon Musk and all the rest of it. And I am so concerned that that nothing really ends up happening with this, because the only way that you're going to cut government employment and try to get more money out there in the private sector, because it takes an intense amount of money, is to just cut the spending. And with 215, you're not going to cut the spending. And I don't even know if there's even a plan to cut the spending. And if it's just something that they told us, in the fall election, just to put us to sleep. Yep, there are good Republicans will be in there to cut the spending. And I don't know, Rick, I'm a little cynical. I'm feeling a little cynical as we go into it. I mean, I'm glad it's not Kamala Harris, but, you know.
Let me give you the answer. First of all, the thought is that many federal government employees will just quit because they don't want to come into D.C. Now, I understand why they don't want to go into D.C. And since they left, D.C. has gotten to be significantly worse for commuters because the mayor has turned it into a bike town and literally takes the main route in from Northern Virginia, which is a major feeder into the D.C. For bureaucrats, and takes a major route, the major route into, that goes into town, and has turned it into a three-lane road that goes two lanes, one.
That's the same bullshit they do in Oregon. My gosh, you have Oregon people running D.C. Wonderful. Okay.
Well, yeah. Right. Well, that's no. They're. I think they make Oregon people look conservative, but the fact is, they are designing the city to punish commuters. And so you have this perfect storm where for 4 years, we've had a very, very limited amount of traffic coming into D.C. A lot of the restaurants are gone as a result. It's just been a disaster for the private sector. And they've made changes to road systems that make it so they can't handle the volume of traffic that they had 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And now Donald Trump's going to say, y'all have to come back to work. And they're going to have to come back to work. And
it's going to be traffic hell. I got that interesting. So, but here's the secret, though. It's not a secret, though. I was reading Ryan McMakin over on Mises the other day. And he's absolutely right. The real dirty secret of what's going on in the federal government is that federal employment's actually lower now than it has been for a long, long time. What it is that it's all the contractors. And then we got Mr. Grifter himself, Elon Musk, one of the biggest government contractors of all, hanging out there advising how we're going to cut the government. I'm a little, you see what I'm getting at, Rick? It's really...
I'm skeptical. By the way, having looked at the numbers for the government numbers and the federal government employment numbers for the last year anyway, with some interest. I'm going to have to fact check whether or not it's actually the number of federal government employees has gone down. That doesn't feel right based on the numbers I've looked at. So I'm not necessarily agreeing to the premise. But let's assume the premise is correct.
Well, no, that there are lots of government employees, but they tend to be all distributed in the contracting world, right? That kind of thing.
Well, no, there are a lot of contractors. That is 100% true. And those contractors, by and large, aren't commuting into D.C.
True.
They're working remotely. They're going to work, but they're working remotely. So you have for Medicaid, for instance, Medicare, they contract out with people to reach out to Medicare recipients to make sure whatever they're trying to sell them, back braces and junk. Yes, you have a lot of that. Those contractors are also going to be under scrutiny. The public employee unions always say, yeah, but the contractors. Mm-hmm. And if you cut the employees, number of employees, you'll just have to have the same job done by the contractors. Here's what my hope is, okay? And this is merely a hope.
Okay.
I know there are massive inefficiencies in government, beyond belief, massive inefficiencies. And the one thing that Elon Musk knows is technologically correcting inefficiencies. And my bet is that you could effectively wring out 15 to 20% of the federal employment and not have to replace it with contractors simply by introducing simple, normal computer efficiencies that exist in every other aspect of life. You don't need, because government employees are permanent, people were hired to type letters for bosses when they were 20 or now 60, and they're sitting there not having a lot to do.
So you might be able to cut a lot of this through attrition, especially
as some of these people age out. And if you say to them, you have to come to work, and they say, well, gee, I'm going to retire instead, you will get that. The one thing that they should not do is they should not put a hiring freeze in place. And And I saw a bill that Marsha Blackburn, Senator Marsha Blackburn, was introducing it. You know, it's a standard kind of knee-jerk, we're going to put a hiring freeze in place and all these different things to talk about federal employment, make them come back to work, blah, blah, blah. The reason you don't want to put a hiring freeze in place is very political, but I'm going to make it anyway. Because right now you got 80% of the federal workforce who are Democrats. If you're going to pass on any kind of legacy as Trump, you have to pass on a legacy of having a neutral workforce. You don't get a neutral workforce if you just let the people go. You have to hire people who are going to be neutral. Barack Obama and Joe Biden have hired Democrat socialist activists into this government, and they are embedded in the government, and they are there to disrupt and make certain that a Republican administration cannot accomplish anything.
So it would seem then that Donald Trump's job will be to, along with Elon Musk's help, hopefully, and others, would be to disrupt that and make it very uncomfortable for these activists to remain there.
Disrupt it, but also, if you do a simple thing, you know, you put the pressure on them, they have to come to work. But then you do a simple thing and you say, yeah, we're gonna pay you money to retire early. We're going to give you a couple extra years on your retirement to get the top end, the most expensive employees to retire. You replace those employees with people who are going to be neutral or favorable. And so suddenly you have the people who control the levers of power. It'll take them a second or two to learn how to do it, but it's not that hard. And at that point, you actually have the bosses of the Democrat Socialists with who are inclined to try to get the work done. And then they can identify the obstructors and they can blow them out of the system. That's how you have to do this. You cannot do this with standard, you know, we're going to do
a hiring freeze. Well, you do a hiring freeze, so what? You're just going to have the commies and disruptors that are.
You do a hiring freeze, you basically leave a bunch of jobs open for the next Democrat president to fill.
There you go. Good point on that, and that's where we'll wrap this week on the D.C. Swamp Update. Rick, you be well over at Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Lots of stuff going on. Good weekend. Stay warm, okay? Thank you.
Yep. I don't know. Stay warm, but thank you very much. Have a great weekend as well.
You too now.